The opinions and statements in this podcast are not those of Hometown Media. Adult language is possible. And now, time for another episode of We Told You So. Just saying.
Good morning, people.
Hello, Steve.
Good morning, grumps.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, what? This is number two session. We're trying to figure out how to start this thing out this morning. But first of all, somebody must have been listening to the first one because...
weren't they, though?
Hey, the stone got watered down and the dust got killed, so we thank you for that. We appreciate it.
And it's an ongoing process. It just wasn't a one and done.
No, no.
So, thank you to the construction people. Kudos.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, partner. Well, we're going to start on talking today.
Well, let's stay downtown.
Okay, Steve, let's do it.
Let's stay downtown. Let's talk about some property downtown.
Right. Yeah, I like that idea.
You like that idea? With all the construction and everything going on downtown, what a great opportunity to at least when the construction on the water and the sewer and everything else is done that, hey, we've got some buildings that look just as good as the outside of the city did. And one place that just kind of sticks out in particular for most people is right on the corner of 68 and 309. Used to house the surplus store.
Absolutely. And with construction, we were told this morning on the what they're doing now is going to be finished up because the Christmas parade is going to be able to use that. So I guess when they get done over there, they're going to start on Detroit Street. So if you got Detroit Street all tore up, why wouldn't you not have to worry about traffic? Work on a building that you can get to on both sides. Don't worry about traffic.
Boy, absolutely. What a golden opportunity.
An excellent opportunity to get in there and rework the outside and do what you got to do on the inside. I would say that property could be made into a landmark for the corner of Kenton.
Well, it really could. Every time we come into town with my wife, and she just looks at that block, and she loves that block. She just does. The architecture and whatnot, it can't be duplicated, and I understand and somewhat appreciate why that building is still standing and not torn down, although it's in a repair where it's you could go one way or the other. But I was just through a little town in southern Ohio by the name of Waverly, and I've been going down there my way to Kentucky for years and years, and there was an old rundown brick building, gaping holes in the side of it.
Yep.
And when I was down there just Tuesday, it is no longer a building with gaping holes and looking run down and terrible. It is a gorgeous building. It really is. They have repurposed that building for whatever they're doing. I have no idea, but it had to start, structurally. Obviously, and they've done it. Is it complete? I have no idea. But there has been a lot of work done to fill in those gaping holes. And I'm just sort of kind of wanting to put a bug in this owner's ear. And if you don't know who the owner is, his name is on the front window. And he's wanting to rebuild downtown one building at a time. My suggestion is when? There's no time like the present.
It's time to get started.
It is time.
And to reiterate on that, as you come up here on the other corner where Twirl's at, look what they did with that building. I mean, both floors, it's all been fixed up. It looks nice. The contour, it fits with all the rest of the downtown. And then you got that corner down there, the Army surplus that looks terrible. And it's time for it to either get fixed or tore down, one or the other.
Well, the varsity club was fixed.
Absolutely. It looks beautiful.
It does. The inside is gorgeous. And the roof was half torn off of that. So it can be done. They just did it.
Look at old Scotty's bar, the front of it. I mean, it's beautiful. It looks nice. Now, the inside
yes,
ain't
does.
Done, but it's another structure. And
that's another structure that it's going to be nice. And
yeah.
When everything downtown is completed, I'm sure it will be completed or close behind. So, no, it is. It's time. It can be redone. He doesn't want to tear it down. I get that. I appreciate that.
And I'll tell you, that kind of leads us to the next subject. I mean, we can keep talking about downtown forever, but when an industry comes to town to see if they want to relocate, the first thing they do is come up and drive around the square and look at all the buildings and see how much integrity this town has got to keeping them looking good. You know, what do we got for downtown support? Of course, they go to the schools. They go to all the other entities in town. So,
it's more than just a drive-by.
It is.
They kind of dig into the weeds a little bit and see what we have. And is there civic pride? Do we take pride in what we have in our, not only just our downtown, but, you know, in everything else that we have? And people, just take some pride in where you live and, you know, keep it cleaned up. Try your doggondest to keep up on it, because you're a property owner, Steve. You know as well as I do, you're always spending money on your property.
Oh, you always are. But, you know, especially the main streets now, people come in and looking around, they're driving off on the side streets. And we've got some properties that's not taken care of. Grass needs mowed. Windows are falling out. And, you know, it looks terrible. I mean, it's getting better. It's getting better. But we still got the properties that need some attention. And a lot of those are owned by landlords who don't give 2 cents whether they fix them up or not. They're all in it for the money. So,
and that's a shame, and shame on them.
Yes, exactly. If you're going to be in that business, then take care of your equipment. It's just like in manufacturing. If you let your equipment run down, you're not going to make a good product. So it ain't no different. If you own houses, you let them run down, you're
not going to get a good tenant.
You're not going to get a good tenant. You're not going to get paid. So, but that is what industry is looking at when they pull into town. They're going to look around and look at the housing because they want to see what they got for a labor force and see, you know, what kind of houses they live in. They're going to see what kind of vehicles they're driving and what they've got to choose from labor. So, you know, our town isn't that big, and there's a lot of other towns around that's got the same problem. But, you know, that's going to lead us into another subject here in a little bit. But first of all, industry, we got to have a place to put industry too, and there's some properties south of town that were very good industry at one time, but one of them has got wood all over it, and it's all growed up, and it's prime to be built on by someone.
It's a fantastic property to be built on, and you're absolutely right there. The appearance of that property would lead someone to maybe not. It could stand a really good cleaning up, some mowing, and matter of fact, I'm not so sure that mowing will take care of some of it. It's grown up so long, it's got trees and stuff growing up in it now, but it's nothing that can't be fixed, and appearance is everything.
It always is.
Appearance is everything.
Well, we got the old Kit and Iron building, the old gray building back in there behind Tice's building off of 68 there. And that building, I've been inside of it. They've tried to clean it up best they can. It's still going to take some work. But somebody wanted to use some help and elbow grease and spend a little money. They could have a nice building back there, and that's a nice quiet area where they don't bother you, and you got plenty of room. But That and another property that needs to be developed is the old Broderick property on Steiner Avenue. I know
that,
it's been
that
talked
is a
about
really nice area.
Very nice.
Right there. Over there, you're diagonal from Skinny's, and what a great place to eat if you're hungry. But Steve, in my head, I don't foresee that being industrial.
No, I agree with you there, Kurt. It's an area to me. It needs to be built up into residential. And when we get talking about residential, is what type of homes or condos or apartments or what kind of development do you build in this town that fits the clientele that wants to buy a medium-priced home, which I don't even know what is anymore. You've got this morning we were at a meeting and they said Bonware is growing by so many jobs. Okay, there's a place, you got to have a place for them to live, and they need housing. And so, and other companies will hire more people, but they got no place to live around here. I mean, we got a lot of people who live around here and worked in Honda because it was cheaper to live in Kenton than it was in the Marysville.
Oh, and it still is. There's just absolutely no doubt about that. So what do we do to attract people to want to come to Kenton? Well, first of all, I think we need to bring some new industry into Kenton. With everything that's going on down in Columbus and New Albany with Intel and hell, there's Amazon is putting in a huge center down there. Now, are people going to want to live here and drive all that way to work? Probably not. But as far as Intel goes, there's going to be that second and third tier supplier that Hardin County and Wyandotte, especially Hardin County, we're ripe for that.
We're right on the 60-mile radius. I know everybody says 30, but just be realistic. You're not going to get what they need in 30, so you got to go out 60-mile radius to catch the smaller communities that can support the smaller businesses that support.
And that's just it. I mean, they're sucking up the workforce, in their area, by leaps and bounds. And you can only shove so many people and jobs into one area. And I'm beginning to think that, the New Albany and that neck of the woods out there, they're about saturated. I mean, they truly are. So they're going to have to, like I said, come out further. If we can bring the jobs, the housing and other things will come. It always does.
Go to Marysville. I went down Old 31 the other day, and they're building more 2- and 3-story condos right off there to south. And then there's one big, it's at least 100,000 square foot building. You can see it from 33. There's another 50. I counted 3 empty new big buildings. One was an older building on down. I think it was the old Rockwell plant still empty. But, there's a 500,000 plus square feet right down through there that's prime. I mean, it's right off of 4-lane. You've got all the accessories you need, so all you got to do is unlock the door and go to work. So how do we compete against something like that that's got housing, it's got buildings, they've got everything under the sun? I mean, we're competing against that. You go to Findlay, they got the same thing. They got an area to build buildings, that they've got empty buildings, they've got the people in a 30-mile radius to draw from, which we're in. And there's a lot of people in Kenton that works in Marysville and Findlay because of that.
That's true. And I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, we're going to land that 400 and 500 job type of employer. But if we could get maybe a couple 50s, 100s. It fits our community better, and it works. There's, you know, the commissioners are looking to get their property out there on Dog Pound Road, as we all know it. I think it's Jones Road is the official name of it. That is going to be really attractive to someone because it's shovel ready. It's got everything on it.
You've got that property that's ready. You've got maybe one or two on 68 that could go. And you've got one or two on Bales Road that has water, sewer, electric, and a railroad accessible.
The problem with Bales Road is they just reassessed the floodplain.
Yeah, I know.
And it just got bigger.
Yeah.
That is a drawback there.
But it's not unobtainable.
But
it could be used also for housing with the golf course right there. Built up against the golf course with the background, you know, that could be some medium, nice housing. So
that'll segue into another issue.
Absolutely.
Of farmland in the Forever Farmland Program. Wow. That's how can this town grow? How could we possibly grow when there is acres upon acres that stop it
from everything's going east as far as retail, and we're as far as we can go because the ground that we're up again is in a program that cannot be used for nothing but farm ground. So talk about trying to make progress, you can't because you're stopped. So what do you do?
Well, yeah, everything is breakable, but that is going to be something with someone with a whole lot more gray matter than myself. But I'm on board with trying to do something. That's why we're here doing these podcasts, because we want to do something. We want to make our hometown better.
Well, you've got that ground right between Kmart and Walmart right there. There's 30, 40 acres right there. That rumors got it that AEP owns it for a laydown yard. Well, that don't make any sense to me. That's dumber than a hay rake. But anyway, you know, that could be perfect for development for commercial real estate. I mean, housing. It's a perfect lay for that. You know, if they want a laydown yard, good Lord, go out here and buy a farm and put
well,
your
they
lead
did.
In. Yeah, they did. But, you know, not right there where we needed to develop. But, you know, and I'm sure they're reasonable people. But what I don't understand, the for sale sign's still up. So there's something going on that we don't know about.
Well, there must be. I know they spent an obscene amount of money for that piece of property. But
you know, you might think that's obscene, but I get emails every day for property for sale in Columbus, Dublin, in the high rent district.
Oh yeah, I know.
Them people are crazy. For what they're wanting for property that I wouldn't give, you know, 10 cents for.
Oh yeah, I understand down in that New Albany area. Oh. 100,000 an acre.
Plus. I mean, plus more than that. 120. Yeah, they're nuts. And
but it sold. Somebody bought it.
Somebody's bought it, yeah. Well, I guess if I'm going to build and I got contracts or Intel or somebody, then who cares what it costs because I got guaranteed work coming, you know.
That place exploded down there.
I
don't know how they're going to power it up. And now we're going to segue into something else.
Yeah, now we're going to work our way into the power. So you've got all these fancy windmills and you've got all these solar panels, which is, I know there's a project going on west of town, whether it happens or not. You know more about that than I do. That's your neck of the woods, not mine.
Well, I'm not at liberty to say.
All right. So we'll just leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at that. But the power issue, especially down, like I said, in that New Albany area, I don't know how they're going to juice all that up, because Amazon's going there, and that's just a power hog.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean a power hog. And now, we said we weren't going to talk about politics, but sometimes it's got to be mentioned.
It does, because
our federal government and the EPA are hell-bent on making sure that coal power plants are a thing of the past.
And that's terrible, because coal is the greatest thing ever going. I heated with coal in a 80,000 square foot plant for years, and it was great. I mean, it puts out good heat. It was very economical back then. I built my own furnaces, because and we get a load of coal at a time. I had it pretty much all automated, and it worked great. But then I got to the place where I tried some gas, and man, I didn't have to shovel coal or clinkers or none of that stuff, so gas won out.
But when you're making power, boy, when it is cold, and it hasn't been really cold for about 3 years around here, but it was cold just about 3 years ago at Christmas.
Yeah,
when
yes,
the
it
wind
was.
Blew.
Yes.
And if you were on Mid-Ohio, you didn't have a problem, but they almost had a problem. AEP did.
Yeah.
And there was a rolling blackout. People just thought they lost power. But, yeah, they did lose power, because it was a rolling blackout. The gas pressure went so low that they had to do that to preserve the power for other places.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what that issue was. And that's because, hey, the pressure went down for the gas. But yet, if there's coal, well, we just shove more coal in the hole.
We just pile her in there and make more power.
And burn, baby, burn.
Absolutely. You know, what's coming out that
we can't build nukes. Nobody wants it in their backyard.
You know, you got the smoke coming out the stack. Well, they got scrubbers and cleaners nowadays with technology that you don't hardly know what's coming out that stack.
It is so clean, it hurts.
But the coal, I mean, the coal industry is a great industry down in Kentucky and West Virginia, well, other places too, but they've got good coal down in there. There's good coal and average coal, but them people need a job too, you know. So why are you cutting people out of jobs?
Yeah, exactly. They're not thinking the whole process through. Those are a lot of jobs, Steve. So Mr. Timekeeper, how we doing on time? We getting down there at about 5-7 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, well. But anyhow, we was talking about labor, and that leads us back to the city of Kenton and Hardin County. We got a lot of labor in this community that don't want to work, and it seems like that pool of people just keeps getting bigger. Instead of going to work, they get this government money.
Well, they're stop putting your hand out to have somebody put something in it other than my hand to help you up.
Yeah.
I will do that every day of the week. I will help you up. But I will not be part of the problem to just say, here, go do whatever. Go do some more nothing. And
you know, we said we weren't going to talk about politics, but here we go. We're talking about people that get a check from the government every week or month or whatever it is. And, you know, you hear everybody complain. Yes, they should all have to take a drug test every month if they're not going to work. I mean, there's people that's way capable of working, and we're in the third and fourth generations. And it's, I got a daughter that teaches school, and there's kids that just are taught at home. You don't have to work. You don't have to learn nothing. You know, so what's this country coming to?
Well, when we have less people that can't afford to give to those without, then there will be a new something. Thankfully, you and I aren't going to be around to see it.
No, we're not. But, you know, this younger...
But it's just, I want to just kind of get into the ear of some of these kids. I said, do you really want to, don't you want to change how you were raised? Don't you want better for yourself without someone else giving it to you?
Right, exactly.
And
some of them don't care. You couldn't change them with a 10-pound sledgehammer, you know?
Yeah, I know. And that, again, now that kind of circles right back around to pride.
It does.
It's just pride in yourself, pride in your community. Have some pride in all this and make yourself better. When you make yourself better, you look around you and you want to make other things better as well.
And there's, you know, the poor school teachers. Here we are. You get a class, and I'm very associated with the mechanical engineering and that kind of stuff out of High Point. We got a small part of that here in Kenton. And you'll get two or three kids in that class that doesn't want to be there. They don't want to go to school. So
yeah, it's like a prison.
Yeah.
I know, but...
And all that does is hold everybody else back. So, you know, I know the powers that be in the school saying, all right, what do you want us to do? Well, get them out of that class. But anyway, that's a tough call. I mean, it's just a tough call. I don't know how you educate this new generation. For the ones that just don't want to be there, don't care. And I'd say if you check their background, they've got more people in that family that's got the same attitude. So that's just my opinion. So take it for what it's worth. But, you know, and that brings us to labor in the community. Okay, you got this company coming in and looking, and they're wanting labor. So they're going to go to the school, and they may even ask the school, say, hey, what's the attitude of this whole community? I mean, is it labor intense or is it welfare intense, you know? So they want to know what they got for the next 50 years coming for people to work for them.
But on a bright spot on that, Steve, there is the Hardin Community School.
Yes.
Which has taken in these students that have issues.
That's right.
In the public school, and I... really proud of last year's graduating class. There were 6 out of 18 in that class that are now with a welding certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know better than I how important that welding certificate is, what that welding certificate will do for them as far as a future job.
Absolutely.
And career. In that field. So kudos to them, and they graduated. They probably weren't going to graduate at their home high school.
No.
But they came to the community school, and they did graduate. And I think all but maybe one or two had some sort of career choice to explore.
Yeah, and it's coming back, and you hear it more and more. You don't have to go to college to have a good, high-paying career. I mean, if you've got basic welder, a plumber, an electrician, any kind of basic like that, or driving truck, you can make good money.
Certainly can.
And so,
the possibility of $100,000 is easily done.
All you got to do is work a little
bit. All you got to do is work.
And
exactly.
You just don't have to. And I think colleges are starting to see this, that the student count is backing down a little bit because the kids are finding out they don't have to go to college to get a good job when they get out of school. You know, you still got to have doctors and lawyers and all that, high-end teachers and that, but still... you still need welders and plumbers and truck drivers and all that.
Absolutely. The world has to, you know, be taken care of, and we need to put an end to this session.
Absolutely. And you rolled into that just pretty trick. You know that? So, well, we've solved a few of the problems, and hopefully this podcast is we get enough listeners that
I hope we get enough listeners, but, you know, we're right. We're always right,
Steve.
We're
always right.
We're always right.
My dad was right.
Yeah, he was right.
All the time.
Right. And I'm going to, you know, say that because we're right, don't make us say we told you so.
No.
Because that all that does is just, it just says, yep, you were right.
Absolutely. Until the next time, have a good week. Have a good month. We appreciate you listening. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank
you. See you next time.
Uh-huh.
You bet.
And you've just listened to another episode of We Told You So, Just Saying, with Steve and Kirk.